This is CJ Kinney for Esoterica, a short feature which delves into the realms of the extraordinary. And today I'm talking about death and all the dust it kicks up, as my old childhood neighbor died a few days ago at the age of 93. She was the mother of one of my best friends, my first friend, really. We grew up next door to each other, attended the same schools, ran in the same circles. We went through all the formative life stuff together, first crushes, first boyfriends, first beer, and all the excitement and angst growing up entails. When that scary movie, A Nightmare on Elm Street, came out, the one starring a ghoul named Freddy Krueger who hunted people with steel claws in their dreams, we watched it together in the guest bedroom at my house. Afterward, she had to cross the yard in between our houses, in the dark, to get home. I walked her halfway there, and full of fear, we both booked it inside before the idea of Freddy could get either of us. But she went home to something really scary. An alcoholic mother, two abusive brothers, and a philandering father who would be arrested and tried for a shocking crime. On the outside, they looked like the perfect family, well-educated folks attending the right schools, going to church on the regular. On the inside, their world was twisted, unsafe, and unsound, a place where I watched helplessly while my friend's brother beat her up, pushed her down the stairs, and broke her arm, where her mother laughed derisively about her husband's so-called girlfriends and proudly declared that she loved her male children more than her girls. That same mother used to drunkenly call me on my kids' line at night and terrorize me. I was a kid with a best friend who asked me not to tell, so I didn't. Not when her mom accused me of bizarre things, not when she banned me from their house, not when bad things over there continued to happen, never. But I should have told. Maybe I could have saved my friend from years of abuse and trauma. But I didn't. I was loyal. So I spent much of my childhood in fear for us both, and we developed a secret language to communicate awful truths. As years passed and I became perhaps too big to easily bully, the drunken calls stopped and I started to go back over there. The mother never acknowledged the banishment or the calls, just as the father never mentioned the time he tried to get me to play secretary and boss out behind where he burned the fall leaves. Her brother continued to terrorize. He sometimes threw furniture. He may have done more. We were all scared of him. Eventually, we all grew up, and over the years, it has always surprised me how my friend loves and supports her family. Even as she acknowledges the abuse, she cared for her aging mother, calling her each night. Even as she remembers the horrors, she blesses her now elderly father. And even as she moved across the whole country to live as far away from them as possible, she comes back frequently to visit and attend family milestones. She doesn't celebrate Christmas, though. She has dogs, not kids, and she's happily single, running often extreme marathons to keep her grounded and sane. She is my oldest and dearest friend, and over the decades when she would happily recount various normal-seeming family joys without a shred of pretense, I marveled at her ability to hold two diametrically opposed visions of her family, one she dearly loves and one she, perhaps, reviles. And this is not uncommon, according to Judith Herman, author of Trauma and Recovery. Abuse survivors can barely imagine themselves in a position of agency, and so they may continue to minister to the needs of those who once abused them, defending them in adversity, and even continuing to tolerate their mistreatment, seeing it in some intrinsic way, perhaps, as simply normal and/or the price to pay in order to have love and belong. It's maybe why she remains silent. And it's perhaps why I didn't tell. And that's why our old group of friends doesn't understand why I am not sad that our good friend's mother has died. I'm not insensitive or indifferent, really. I think I might just be relieved that someone who terrorized me as a child and abused my best friend is at long last gone. I would end it there, but I must tell you something important. While it might seem loyal to stay silent when you or someone you love is being hurt, it is instead courageous to tell. So please, reach out safely now for help and support. Tell someone you trust or simply text the Domestic Violence Hotline at 88788. Your bravery might just make all the difference. For Esoterica, this is CJ Kinney. Thanks for listening.